Mark chapter 11, verse number 12, it says, "And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Now you wonder, why would Jesus even say any of this? Why does he go through any of this? I mean, obviously he knew there was going to be no figs there, but why does he go through this? He's going to teach his disciples a lesson. That's what he's doing right there. He says it in the midst of them. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now, verse 15, "And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." A house of prayer. "And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by," here it is, "they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto them, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away." We go back to verse 14. Jesus said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And the disciples heard it. Verse 20, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away." Master, behold. Jesus didn't point it out. They just walked back by that way, and Peter saw it, and he said, "Master, that's the fig tree you cursed. And look, you said that from no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever, and now look, it's withered away." Verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Have faith in God. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We come to you asking you to help us, Lord. Help us to have faith in you. God, the type of faith that will believe you for whatever you guide and lead us to do. The type of faith that will not doubt, God, but that we would have faith in you, trusting you. And Lord, as we sang about a sweet hour of prayer, we see the connection here between prayer and faith. God, help us to pray in faith, nothing doubting. There's some big things we're needing from you, Lord, and we're asking you for, we're coming to you for. I just pray you'd help us. I pray you'd guide me and help me to say what I should. Please guide my thoughts. And just, I need your help. I want to say what's going to help us. And I pray you'd help me with that, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So they come upon this fig tree. And Jesus wants to teach his disciples a lesson on prayer and faith. So they're just walking. They see this fig tree. Jesus goes over there. There's no figs. And he curses the fig tree. He says, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. And then they continue to go to the temple. And it says they come to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple. And he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. He's mad because they're making merchandise of the Lord and the Lord's work, and they're making money off of it. But he says something in here in verse 17. He says, "And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer?" The house of prayer. And if we want God
to do anything great in this church and in the churches we start, we have to make this a house of prayer. We have to make this a house of prayer. We just sang the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And you can see right here the connection between prayer and faith. I'm going to just say this right now. Little prayer, little faith. Little prayer, little faith. And if we want faith that can move mountains, then we need to spend time with God. And really, this is going to fit with our theme for the year. You know, unto Him be glory in the church. How can we glorify God? Well, one of the things we need to do as a church is we need to pray more. In our own individual lives, we need to pray more. It needs to become a priority. Prayer. Getting a hold of God. Prayer is asking for things. Prayer is going to God and asking Him for things. Jesus said in verse 22, have faith in God. Before you go to God in asking Him for something, He says, have faith in God. Trust God. Believe God. Trust that He can do it. And I mean, this could dovetail right into Nehemiah, what I planned on preaching tonight. I'm not going to get to that. But this could dovetail right into that in having faith in God. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. He had faith in God. He was trusting God. And that's exactly what we need to do moving forward. And I know there's all kinds of heartache in our church right now. There's all kinds of just pain going through our church right now. And God still says to have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. That this should be a house of prayer. And that God can still work miracles. And I don't know what miracles those are going to be. I don't. But I'm telling you, God can. And God does. But it doesn't always mean He answers it how we want. It doesn't. See, we look at this and some people will take it and say, hey, you know, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You know, as far as I know, nobody's ever commanded a mountain to move and it moved. So when we pray, it has to be according to God's will. It's not, see, you can't just take this one passage and say this is the be-all, end-all. Yes, amen. God says, trust me. Amen. If I'm leading you in it, if it's my will and I'm telling you this is what you need to do, God says, I'll do it. You have faith in me. But a lot of times our prayers are motivated by selfishness. Go with me to James, please, if you would. The book of James. See if I can find it here. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not. So he said, hey, you're asking, but you don't get it. Why? Why don't we get it? Why don't we get what we ask for? I have faith, he'd say, I've got faith. Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. God says, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to give it to you because you're asking amiss. You're not asking according to my will. You're not asking according to my will. You ask that you can consume it upon your own lusts. And then he goes to call me adulterers and adulteresses. So he says, you're asking amiss. You're not asking according to my will. If we would, let's go to another place here. And, oh man, if I can find this. It's going to be in 1 John. I just went blank. First John 5:14. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. See, these are some requirements for prayer. Yes, faith. We have to have the prayer of faith. We have to believe God that He's going to give it to us. But we can't ask amiss to consume it upon our own lusts. We have to ask according to God's will. Paul prayed 3 times. You telling me he didn't have faith? You telling me the Apostle Paul didn't have the faith to be healed? He said he went to God 3 times for that God would remove this thorn in the flesh. And God did not remove it from him. God told him, hey, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is all you need. My grace is going to take care of it. I'm not going to give you anything more. I'm not going to take it from you. God, Paul, I'm not going to answer that the way you want. My answer is no. Why? Because Paul was asking amiss. Because his flesh didn't want it. His flesh wanted that messenger of Satan to be removed from him, that thorn in the flesh. His flesh said, I don't like this. I want it gone. And God said, no, you're asking amiss, that you can consume it upon your own lusts. So the Apostle Paul, God told him no. He must have been asking amiss. I can't see any other way around it. But the Bible says that if we ask according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He heareth us, then He gives us what we ask for. That's why we need to pray according to God's will. And we need to have the prayer of faith that God's going to do it. We need to have the faith that God's going to do it. There's certain things that God says, this is what I want. This is how I want things done. This is what I want you doing. There's other things God hasn't given us that. We don't know that God's going to heal our parents from cancer. We don't know that. We want that. We're asking for that, but we don't know that. And God hasn't said that that's His specific will. What God has said is the wages of sin is death. Amen. That's what God has said. Now, none of us want like that. We don't want to accept that, but that's what it is. Now, we can ask Him, but His answer might be no. His answer might be no. But Jesus said, have faith in God. When Jesus said something, it came to pass. So if Jesus wants it, it's going to happen. He wanted that fig tree cursed, and it was cursed. It withered up and died. So if we can get on the same plane as He is, the same wavelength as He is, then we can start asking properly, and we'll start getting what we want, so to speak. This is why prayer is so important, that we're close to God. This is why the Word of God is so important, that we're in the Word of God and we're studying the Word of God, and our minds are being transformed and we begin thinking like God thinks. And we stop. See, the average Christian, okay, is so selfish and it's all about them and they just pray for things for themselves. Lord, let me win the lottery. What in the world? God is not going to bless that. If you win the lottery, the devil did it. I'm just going to tell you right now, it was not God. Okay, it was not God. God's not in that. That's foolishness to God. God says a fool seeks after quick money. But Jesus challenged His disciples to have faith in God. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. You see, if we have unforgiveness in our heart, that's going to hinder our prayers. That's another requirement. We don't have unforgiveness in our heart. We've forgiven people that have wronged us. But we need to have faith in God. We need to trust Him. That faith in God means when we don't get the prayer we want, the answer we want, we keep walking with Him.
Amen.
We continue to trust Him.
Right.
We don't quit. We don't back away. We keep trusting Him. We keep serving Him. That's what it means to have faith in God. That's what the prayer of faith is. We need to have the prayer of faith. If you would go to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9:14 says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. Now, let me kind of catch us up to speed here. Jesus and Peter, James, and John had just come off the Mount of Transfiguration. They just saw that amazing transfiguration, I guess, without a better way to say it. They saw the Lord transfigured, and they saw Moses and Elijah there with him. And then they're coming down from the mount, and it says, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? So he sees the scribes are questioning him. He says, what's the deal here? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They could not. But at other times they were able to cast out devils. At other times they were able to. Verse 19, he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation. There it is, faithless. No faith. No faith. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Maybe the reason God doesn't do things and God doesn't work miraculously in our life is because we don't have faith. We don't trust him. You know what? Faith is more than just saying it. At some point, faith, you have to step out on it. At some point, you have to say, I'm willing to do what God is commanding. That's faith. Faith is not, I'm just going to stay here until God shows me. That's not faith. That's what most people want to do. Most people never experience like the power of God. They never see God really work in a mighty way in their life because they're never willing to step out.
Amen.
Never. They want to stay comfortable and they want everything to just be just how they can see it. And God will work a little in their life, but not a lot. Like, we have to be willing to step out by faith. We have to be willing to trust God. And I'm telling you, there is a fine line between faith and foolishness.
Amen.
That's why you got to be connected to God. That's why you got to know God. I mean, I'm telling you, it's crazy to quit your job and start a church.
Amen.
Who in the world does that? That's foolishness. But God expects us to live by faith, to walk by faith. Jesus had some people, a young man that wanted to follow him, and he said, hey, well, Master, let me follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, you want to follow me? Great. The foxes have dens, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, you want to follow me? I don't even have a home. So are you sure? You better think about it. You better think about it. And some of us, we better think about it. Do we really want to follow the Lord? I mean, are we in this thing? Are we in it to win it? I'm telling you, man, it's for the long haul. It's got to be for the long haul. It can't just be part-time.
Amen.
We got to be in it. And that's faith. Faith says, I'm going to do it. When it's hard, I'm going to keep doing it. When I'm ready to quit, I'm going to keep doing it. When somebody wrongs me, I'm going to keep doing it. When somebody hurts my feelings, I'm going to keep doing it. When someone lies about me, I'm going to keep serving God. Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? It means allow you. Bring him unto me. He said, bring him to me. Verse 20, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. My. How did this young man now get devil-possessed from a child? From the time he was a child, how did he get devil-possessed? What influences were allowed in that home? What was this child allowed to do, I wonder? Verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire. See, this devil wanted to destroy him. You know, the devil hasn't changed. He still wants to destroy us.
Amen.
He still wants to destroy us. Into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is a desperate father. He's, I came seeking you out, Lord. Help. Help. Your disciples couldn't do it. Help, please. For a long time, my son's been like this. Imagine what you would think if your son just straightway, that says the spirit tear him, he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. He's just throwing himself back and forth, just wallowing, just foaming at his mouth. The devil just throws them in the fire. Who does that? No person in their right mind will go and burn themselves, will go and throw themselves in a fire. Nobody in their right mind does that.
But this guy did because he had a devil. Look what Jesus says unto him. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you can believe, you faithless generation, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I've prayed that a lot of times. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. We don't know the next step, really, of what's going to happen. What'll happen here? What'll happen, the next church plant, the one after that, the one after that. We don't have any of those answers. We don't know. But here's one thing I'm telling you. We do know that God wants us to start churches because His Word is very clear about that. We do know that's His will. We do know that Jesus said specifically to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth laborers. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. That's a prayer request Jesus gave to us and told us to pray for. So if we pray for that, we know that's His will, then what's He going to do? What's He going to do? He's going to answer it.
Amen.
He's going to answer it. He's going to send it. Some of you sitting in here are an answer to that prayer because I prayed that prayer for years. He's answering it. He's answering it. We need to get close to God so we know what He wants and start asking for the things that He wants and expect Him to do it. Expect Him to do it. It's not easy to live by faith. I'll just tell you right now. Like this man right here, he says, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, in so much that many said, he is dead. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, but something amazing happened right there. And I imagine it took every bit of energy and almost the life out of this young man as that devil came out. And it says it rent him sore and he fell on the floor like he was dead. He just had no life in him. Everyone thought he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, Jesus, now his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? How come we couldn't do what you did, Lord? Why couldn't we do the same thing that you did? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So if we want to see the miracle working power of God in our lives and in the lives of the people in this church, and you know, if we want to see people saved and growing and going off and starting churches, then this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. If we want this kind of ministry, this kind of church, it can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Man, I want my family saved. I mean it. I want my family saved. I want my lost family to hear the gospel and get saved. When lost people come in here, I want them to get saved.
Amen.
But this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The early church was a praying church. And that's something that we need to do more of in our own lives and here corporately as a church. Now already, I mean, our Wednesday service is unlike anything I've ever been a part of. I mean, sometimes that prayer goes on for 30 minutes to an hour. It just depends. And that's unusual. It really is. But I believe the reason why we do that is because we have a church of disciples. For the most part, maybe not everyone is. I wish they would be, but we have a church of disciples. And because of that, we desire to be here and we're all right with staying longer. We're not here to get out.
Amen.
We're not. We're committed to this. We're serious about it. But if we want to see God do greater works than these, even what we've seen, then we need to commit to prayer and fasting.
something I would like us to do. I would like the men of the church to meet here every Sunday morning at 9:40 so we can pray before the service. Just as many men as want to, as many men as are able, show up at 9:40 so we can pray before the service. For just about 10 minutes. We don't need to be super long. We want to be here to greet people and everything. But I want us to start praying before the service, and we'll just see what the Lord does with it. There's some specific things I'm putting together that we need to start praying for. We're going to redo our midweek prayer service with specific things that we're going to pray for so we can see God answer. We're going to ask for things that God says to ask for, that we know God would want. You know, we're told to pray for those in authority over us. We're going to start doing that. We're going to start praying for the leaders of our nation, the leaders of our state. We're going to pray for them by name. We're going to start doing that as a church. God told us to do it in 1 Timothy. He told us. So we're going to start doing it. But we need to be committed to prayer and fasting. Have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, I hope everyone here would say, I want to have faith in God. I want that. I want to trust God like that. Then what that means is you also have to be willing to obey Him. And that's where it gets hard. But if you're not willing to obey Him, then you don't have faith in Him. Think about it. When Jesus asked Peter, or actually rather, when Peter asked Jesus, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto you. And Jesus is walking on the sea, and it's not a calm sea. I mean, there's a storm raging. Okay, I mean, waves being tossed, everything. I mean, just a storm raging. And Jesus comes up to them walking on the sea, and Peter says, he's the only one that had the faith. He's the only one that had the faith to step out. The other 11 were just like wet and cold and shaking probably. I'm telling you, but Peter, he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out to you. And Jesus said, come on out. Peter had the faith to step out of the boat when no one else did. And he's the only one that's ever walked on water besides the Lord. That's it. There, nobody else ever walked on water. I've tried it. I just sink. I mean, I did as a kid. I went running off the side of the pool and I just went right down. It didn't work. But Peter did it. Now, don't get discouraged if you do take that step of faith and you stumble a little bit, because Peter got his eyes off the Lord too and he started sinking. But man, I love that passage right there when he says, Lord, help me. Lord, save me, I think is what he said. And immediately the Lord was right at him and picked him up. So he stepped out by faith. So if you're going to live by faith, then that means you need to obey what the Lord's telling you to do. You need to obey Him. I'm telling you right now, there's some of you in here, the Lord's been speaking to you about some things and you're fighting Him about it. You're not doing it. He's told you this is how you need to live your life. This is how you need to order your life. You need to fix this in your life. You need to get rid of this. You need to start doing this. You need to start going soul winning. You need to stop doing this. You need to be more faithful to your Bible reading. You need to be more faithful to your praying. He's told you these things and you're not listening to Him. That's not faith. That's not faith. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Can that be our prayer? It needs to be. Because I think everyone in here believes. But we're flesh. And we fail. So that's why we go to God and we say, God, I want to. But help thou mine unbelief. Help me stop being so lazy. Amen. I'm on a second, third, fourth, and fifth that one. Help me stop being lazy. I'm talking for myself right here, nobody else. By faith. By faith.